The award-winning civil rights drama Too Heavy for Your Pocket is running at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick through May 19th. And we are thrilled to have the person who's playing Sally Mae Carter in the show. Yeah. Jonice Abbott-Pratt joins us on the WBGO Journal. Great to see you, Jonice.
You too. Good morning.
Tell us about why you wanted to be a part of this amazing show that's really receiving critically acclaim again.
It's important to me as an actress to be a part of stories that reflect my history, my people's history in this country. And I think sometimes we separate Black history and Latin history, but it's all American history. And what I really love about this particular show is that you get to see what happens to the people at home, those that are left behind. You get to get more insight into the struggles of what was going on during civil rights, the civil rights movements, and as the freedom fighters were being recruited from universities and from communities, as these young people were taken away from their home, well, being asked to leave their home to fight the fight, you get to see through this play, what Jeray has written in Too Heavy for Your Pocket, the cost of the loved ones that are left at home. And sometimes these are those unsung stories, those stories that aren't told.
So as you were doing this production, did it ever come into your mind what choice you would have made if somebody would have come to you, if you were around at that time and said, we need you to be a part of the Freedom Riders? Would you have any reaction to that?
Golly. You know, it was actually really hard for me to watch some of the video that I saw, because I actually can't imagine what it, the mindset that one has to be in to, first of all, just endure what you endure on a day-to-day, not having certain basic rights and freedoms that, because you are human, you are entitled to. And the only reason you're not getting it is because someone made a decision that based on the color of your skin, you can't have it. And so you go through that. But then the next phase is to fight for equality, fairness, you know? And it was actually hard to watch people almost kind of zone out. You kind of had, I felt like I was watching people disconnect from themselves in a way, so that they could use the training that they had to get through this situation. And honestly, like, it hurt a lot, and it just brought me to present day, you know, and some of the things that we still deal with, whether it's about race or gender. And I don't, for me, it was just, it's heartbreaking. But at the same time, I do see so many improvements and changes. We were just talking about, Rick and I were talking about Newark this morning, and how this community is just is rebuilding in a way that I think, I'm new to Newark. I've only been here for 3 years, so I might be, you know, speaking out of turn. But I think that, at least from my perspective, the revitalization of this city has the community in mind. And I just think that's important. I hope I answered your question.
You did. And let's go to Nashville, 1961, the summer. That's where this play takes place.
Yeah.
And two couples. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the relationship between the two couples, and really a quick synopsis of Too Heavy for Your Pocket.
So the couples are, they're kind of like best friends. So Sally Mae and Bozie have been friends since they were kids. They grew up in Dry Creek, which is, you know, outside of the city. But Bozie also had a relationship with Tony Carter, who is Sally Mae's husband. And then as they get older, they meet Evelyn, and she and Bozie end up getting married. And so the four are just, we call ourselves the Fantastic Four, you know, the elite squad, because they are very different individually, but together they balance each other out. We're like, Evelyn doesn't cook, but Sally does. Bozie is an intellectual, where Tony is very hands-on, and he can build things. So it's interesting, because oftentimes you meet characters in plays and you see how they kind of create their own little universe and they balance each other out. And I think that that's what Jure has captured with these characters. And Too Heavy for Your Pocket, I think there was a woman at a talkback who asked, there's a monologue or a letter that Sally has at the end of the play where she talks about, she gives a story about how this older woman told her sons to grab a rock, put it in your pocket. And whenever you feel like life is too hard for you, you grab that rock and you think of something to be grateful for. And I think that Too Heavy for Your Pocket is just based on the individual. When you're going through life's challenges and struggles and you feel like it's too much for you to endure, and how could I possibly ever make it through, which is what I imagine these freedom fighters had to They experience countless times. You have to dig deeper, unfortunately and fortunately. You have to continue to dig deeper into that reserve of the human spirit. And whatever that is for you, whatever it is you tap into, that is the thing that will continue to pull you through, you know?
The artistic director at the George Street Playhouse, David Saint, has said, and other people have already said, when to describe this play, you use the word beautiful. Mm. But when you're thinking of the Freedom Riders, that doesn't necessarily come into mind. So tell us why it's, in your mind, it's beautiful.
Well, I think what it asks me to do as an actress and as a, just as a human being is to appreciate the beauty in humanity, right? Like, we cover it up with so many needs, and our needs and what we feel like we're entitled to can get in the way of our love and care for each other, right? But, like, kindness, when I think about just being kind to people, I think about humankind. And I think that is the beauty. If we can come back to that, just that love and care for one another, I think so many of these things that separate us that then become how we identify and then our justifications of how we mistreat each other sometimes, if we can let that go and come back to the true beauty and kindness and love, like, I think that's what's beautiful about it. I think the play asks you to do that. It kind of holds up a mirror to injustice, you know?
And Jure Holder's show was first debuted in 2017. So this is really a new show that really encompasses what has been going on. We, you know, writing it, knowing what has happened in the 2000s and the 2010 decade and mm-hmm. what is happening now. So did that help you connect with this story more, knowing that it was a story that was written today?
Not necessarily. I think for me, my connection was just the characters, you know. When I first read it, this is so weird to say, but I kind of had this joyful feeling when I finished reading the play. It touched me in a way that left me with hope. So that was my way in. I don't know, and I work on a lot of new plays that are period pieces. So for me, just as an actor, I don't know, it's easier for me to access period dramas.
Knowing that you've been in Seven Guitars, you've been in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, I know that August Wilson has to be close to you in some way, has to be inside you. Can you tell us a little bit about being a part of those shows and being a part of The Mountaintop, about MLK?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'm thinking about the previous question, but I think it ties into this. There, I feel like I rely on my grandmother a lot, right, who was around during that time. She was a young woman in the 60s. She was a mother in the 60s. And there's stories that I've heard about my great-grandmother, and I have an Aunt Janice, you know. And I think that you get into a certain, the playwright will always write in a way that is musical. So, like, a play is like, our lines are like lyrics. And when you find the musicality in the character, things just start to crack open in terms of Like if they have a certain draw, you know, a southern draw that maybe because of the environment, the climate, if there's a certain way that they attack language, it could have to do with whatever circumstances that they're dealing with. So I think that I think these characters are in all of us. Like, you know, we all have, I don't know, probably at least 100 different characters living inside of us. And then you meet the play and the playwright, and I think it's kind of something that I don't know. It's kind of like magic, right? Like that character just emerges and will come out and, in a way, sing the song for you. You know.
We're speaking with Jonice Abbott Pratt, who plays Sallie Mae Carter in the award-winning civil rights drama "Too Heavy for Your Pocket" that is running at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick through May 19th. How does someone who grew up in Philadelphia end up with a Master's of Fine Arts from the University of Iowa?
They chose me. I just knew I wanted to go to grad school, and I wanted to be a better actress. I was actually supposed to go to Emerson College for a theater education, but I took some time off, and I did my first play in Atlanta, and I thought, no, I want to be an actress. I auditioned, and what I loved about the University of Iowa is that it wasn't a conservatory where you focused on a specific style. You learned so many different styles of acting, and you also focused on new plays because they have one of the best writing programs in the country. So I was working with all these new playwrights and directors who were just writing all of the time. And I learned then how to work on a new play, right? Like you have to ask questions. And one of the things that I think is really important is when an actor approaches a new play, you're laying the groundwork for however many actors or actresses that come after you who have to journey through this character. So Iowa gave me a great foundation and how to do that.
So you just kind of answered this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. As Sallie Mae Carter, what have you taken from your own life and put into Sallie Mae?
Sallie sometimes. Okay, so Sallie is like sweet, right? And she leads with, I'm going to do the right thing. And if it's not working, I'm going to pray on it. And I'm just going to keep praying until this thing works itself out, which is something she's given me, right? But I had to give Sallie a little bit of my fight and my bite. So she has a strength and a determination that I think you kind of picked up on when you talked about my reel, that some of the characters that I play can be tough. And so I gave her that.
Yeah, we talked about before we did the interview that watching your demo and roles in Blind Spot and Law and Order SUV, you get a full range of what Jonice can do. But you seem to shine when you have that edge you have. Where did that bite come from?
I don't know. Maybe just my family, my grandmother, my mom. That doesn't say, I don't mean to say that I don't have like a sweet side. I can be soft. I feel like I go in between like a super demure and like a little flower to a character that has to kind of take control and take ownership of the space.
And I wasn't insinuating that you couldn't. I was saying I like you when you have that bite is what I'm saying.
Just had to put it out there for the people. But I don't know. I think it just comes from, also I think it's the characters that I've played have also asked me to serve them in that way. So through training, but also I just come from women who are clear about what they want, you know, and demand it.
Are enough young people educating themselves enough about the civil rights era?
I had the privilege of working at NYU this winter in their experimental theater wing, and I hadn't been in a classroom in over 12 years. And I met these students who I think have their own version of civil rights. And it was really interesting to me the way that they assert themselves, and they assert themselves in a way that I would have never thought to when I was inside of a classroom. There were things I just endured. I had other battles that I was fighting. So I think that, yes, it's beneficial and it's helpful to know history and to know what we've all struggled with just as a country. And I think it serves the fight now. But I also think that in addition to that, there's benefit in learning from what these young people are dealing with now and what they're going through, and how do we serve the civil rights that they are fighting for now, you know?
What were you battling with at the time? You can't just throw that out and say.
What do you mean?
You said, I had other battles to deal
with.
Well,
you know, I was a black woman in Iowa. And as much as I loved the theater department and still do, I would walk around and people would just stare at me. You know, and this is like, 12, 13 years ago, you know what I mean? Where now, there's such a diverse community there now because a lot of people have migrated there from Louisiana, from Chicago. But it was difficult for me. When I first got there, I didn't feel like people were writing stories that reflected me. I went from my first show. I was in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, and I played I was one of the courtesans, but I was the courtesan that was like from the jungle, you know? And although I had the fiercest costume, it wasn't lost on me that was the role that I got. Now, as they started to see my work and what I was able to do, I grew into roles that that were not necessarily, I know they wouldn't have seen me in that had they not had an appreciation for my work. But there was a while there where I saw that they were never going to see me as if there was a mainstream couple that, you know, if the show was done in New York and if it was done with an all-white cast, and that's how it was going to be done at my school. Where now, golly, like the demographic has changed so much at Iowa. Just in the program alone, there's 16 students. And when I was there, three of us were black and two were two other people of color. Where now, it's like maybe three white students there now. So things have changed a lot, you know.
And maybe you're one of the reasons why. Have you ever thought about that?
Probably. No, you're right. I hadn't thought about that, but that makes sense.
Director L.A. Williams, what have you learned?
Patience. And that, you know, the play will reveal itself to you. Like, there are times when we might be questioning, what is this moment about? What was Jure saying with this particular piece of text, you know, because everything is not just put out there. There are things that we kind of had to dig for, but we learn to be patient and let the play reveal itself to us. So there are times now even when I'm just like riding to work and I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Okay, so then I go talk to my scene partner and we'll just have, you know, we keep talking about these different epiphanies, and I'm just really lucky to be with such an amazing cast. There, Donnell Smith, he journals a lot. He shared a journal entry with us about his wife in the show. She has a miscarriage. And he journaled about what that experience was for him. And he shared that with us. So when we got back to that scene, like, that scene was completely, you know, it just lived in a different way. So I think that although all of his writing is just not like on the surface obvious what the characters are feeling and what they're talking about, all these seeds are planted that continue to unfold. They continue to blossom. So I just learned to just appreciate and just wait, just be patient and wait for the play to unpack itself for me, you know.
Do you think the Fantastic Four will stay in touch after this show?
I do. I hope so. I love them so much. they really, I know they balance me out. Like Landon keeps me calm. You know, if I'm like, I don't understand what's happening in this moment, it's like he's already prepared to give me a new insight or a new way to attack the scene. And Felicia is hilarious and keeps me laughing. And Donnell is just the sweetest spirit, you know, and he's such a joy to work with. And he's so, so loving. And he can just look at me and my heart just starts weeping, you know. It's beautiful.
Last question. What has been the comment that has meant the most to you from something you either overheard after the show or someone said directly to you from an audience member?
So there was a talk back we had. And I think, you know what I appreciate about this show, but also about being an actor, is that I feel like I'm in the service industry. And what I get to serve are stories. But I get to, in particular when you're doing a period piece, I get to show people maybe a time in their life where either they didn't get to say what they really wanted to say and the character in the show is saying it. And so they connect. They have a moment of like, I remember when, and it's so healing. And it just gives them an opportunity to revisit a time in their life. And you can see when they're talking to you about this one gentleman came up to me afterwards after a talk back and he said, you know, I knew during that time that I wasn't going to be the one that could sit out at a diner counter or on a curb and people spit on me or dogs bite me or anything like that. He said, I knew that I couldn't handle it. I would fight back. He said, but my uncle had a sign shop and he said, I would go there and make signs for people who were going to go out and fight. And that meant something to me because it's still him having an active role and knowing what his lane is, you know, but still doing something that is meaningful and powerful, in his own way. And so to be able to be a part of a story that, gives him, I don't know, maybe some comfort or reassurance in that way. It definitely gave that to me in that moment, that we all have a part to play. And I think a part of the journey is just finding out what your role is in it, you know.
Grandma's still around?
She is, yeah.
Yeah, she'd be somebody I think we'd like to meet because she's done well.
Aw, thank you. I'll bring her by.
Okay. Janice Abbott-Pratt playing Sally Mae Carter in the award-winning civil rights drama Too Heavy for Your Pocket, receiving all kinds of acclaim at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick and running through May 19th. Continued success.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.